Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, as we close out 2020 and look towards 2021, data might be the biggest topic. Now, while it's all good to talk about the importance of data in the current payments ecosystem, the issue of how you can communicate that data across multiple different connection points becomes far more complex. Now, however, organizations like Nacha are looking to help by creating standardizations, rules, and governance that allow organizations to still use the current payment rails that they would like to, but will allow for the data to be transferred in a manageable, standardized fashion. So to dive deeper into this subject, I have Nacha's Managing Director of Advanced Payment Solutions and Executive Director of Affinis, George Throckmorton, and Mercator Advisor Group's Director of Debit and Alternative Payments Advisory Service, Sarah Grotta. So there's certainly a lot to digest in today's episode, so without any further delays, let's start the show. So George and Sarah, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on here. We're going to be taking a deep dive into Fixius and also taking a look at the future of Fixius and kind of the roadmap, so to speak. But George, before we dive into that part of it and kind of a future lens, let's kind of pull a little bit back here. And the last conversation that we had with you ended a bit about talking about Fixius is really built for not only the way the payments industry is developing today, but a look towards the future. And perhaps maybe you could kind of give us a 101 of Fixius, and then we can kind of recap how Fixius is built for today and for tomorrow.
Yeah, sure, Ryan. Great opening question. And I think, the story of Fixius, it goes back several years. So I think, everyone recognizes Nacha, governance of the ACH network and rule writer and all of that. And that's certainly a primary role in the financial industry. But in addition to that, Nacha is an organization of payment experts, and we convene the industry very often. We work very closely with all industry participants, whether they be from a financial institution to a solution provider to a business itself originating or receiving payments. So in these conversations with these organizations over the last several years, it became apparent that there was a gap, there was an area of improvement needed around the exchange of what we call payment-related information. So to kind of go in a little bit of detail around that, it wasn't about how funds are moved, right? The rails that are available today, and I would say the emerging rails, are very capable of moving money from point A to point B, and they do that very effectively, and they meet the various business needs of businesses in order to move those funds. However, there is a lot of work on what we call the pre-post and post-payment side of these processes. For businesses, there's a lot of data that needs to be obtained. There's a lot of data that needs to be verified when they are onboarding new businesses in order to make payments to those companies, and vice versa on the receivable side when they're getting ready to receive payments. So these businesses are challenged with the same regulatory and risk management, things that they need to accomplish as financial institutions are. So we began to look at how to solve that problem, and Fixius is a result of that, because I think what we heard from the industry is we have ways in which to exchange data today. They are basically rely on bilateral agreements, which are effective. We have directory services of all kinds today, right? There's plenty of directories that businesses can sign up for, can load their information, upload their information to, work with these kind of networks or directory providers. So we have those. What we are looking for is better interoperability between these things that we've built and to make them work better. So Fixius is a platform designed to do that, to establish trust between these entities so they can exchange data. They don't have to join each other's network or be in the same directory. That's not the purpose of Fixius. It is not a centralized directory, which there are many of those. Instead, it is more of a federated model where everyone is still maintaining and controlling their own data and access to that data. But now through Fixius, we can eliminate the need for multiple bilateral agreements, which, as I said, are very effective, but become difficult to manage when you have a lot of these. And I'll give you just one example before we move on to the next topic. This is how big this problem is. When we talk to a business and we say, well, how many of these other businesses are you paying or getting paid from that you're having to manage this data, this different types of information? And it can be massive, from, you know, 3,000 to 10,000 to 30,000 records or businesses that they are trying to onboard and then maintain that information. It has become an issue. And so that's why Nacha has invested in Fixes, and it's designed to meet the needs that we heard from the financial industry.
So let me ask you this question, George. Is part of what Fixes' role, is it really to manage the integrity of that data? So, you know, ensuring the accuracy of the information, or maybe just assuring that all the players are maintaining the accuracy of the data?
Yeah, it is. And again, you know, a little bit of detail on how that works. So the platform is just not technology. I think we all tend to think when we say the word platform, we are talking about tech. In this case, Fixes is more than that. So there is the technology, open source APIs, shared ledger or blockchain technology, all part of Fixes, establishing smart contracts, establishing the trust between the endpoints, doing strong authentication, doing token management, all of that. So that's all very technical. And it does make sure that the two endpoints can trust one another and then exchange data. Now, when we talk about the trustworthiness of the data, how do I know that what I am getting is okay to use? Has it been vetted? Has it been verified? That is actually supported through Fixes via the Fixes operating rules that Nacha has authored for the platform. So all participants follow the same set of rules. This is really not a lot different than a bilateral agreement. Right? In a bilateral agreement, that is where you would establish this trust. Who is going to expose data? What is that data you're going to expose? You're going to, quote, warranty that the data you're giving me is accurate and correct. And then what am I going to do with the data? Right? What are the limitations around my use of that information? So the Fixes rules addresses all of that with liabilities and warranties around that information that is exchanged. And that really is a key to the platform to establish trust, not only of the endpoint, who I'm sharing data with, but the data itself. I can use that data to make a payment. I can onboard that. I can onboard a supplier with that information and know that it is good data.
Yeah, and I'm glad, George, that you brought up the technology aspect of it. And that, you know, obviously, you know, when we talk about platform, it, you know, most of the time people think, hey, just technology, but it does go beyond that. But one of the things that I think is fantastic about, you know, when we have conversations with you, George, is that we really get to talk about the connective tissue of the payments industry. And I certainly think it's fantastic to see organizations like Nacha work to build better ways to help organizations communicate or pass data to each other. But that doesn't really get to the root of the problem. And that is that innovation continues to happen at a rapid pace. And so does the complexity of those connections within the payments industry. So what is Nacha really doing about that part of the continued innovation?
Yeah, so I think when we think about innovation and all of the companies out there that are doing a great job, right, at building new product, building new solutions, and leveraging, you know, the latest technology. So that is all happening. And as Ryan, you stated, at a rapid rate. So nothing really wrong with that, but what we have found, again, in talking and collaborating with the industry is without any attempt, right, without an attempt to standardize what is being done or to provide that view of interoperability, that creates challenges on its own, right? New innovation can create new challenges. So if I have multiple products and services that I can choose from and they're available in the industry, there's still a problem in that I can't support all of these things. And so this is, again, going back to the core of Fixes, is to say, we don't want yet another, solution. How do we connect the ones that we have? And there are different ways to address the issue. As I mentioned, one way to look at this can certainly be that the value in what Fixes is trying to solve, right? The value is in the data. So why don't we centralize the data? And have a strong permission-based application that allows people to securely come and access that data and securely upload data. It is certainly a way to solve the problem. But what we heard loud and clear from financial institutions, from service providers, and businesses themselves is really not interested in these large central data stores that try to provide connectivity that way. Right? That's just another area in which we have new risks that are exposed if there were a data breach. And you could always argue that technology can solve for those issues. But I think everyone in the financial services industry would say, fraud is always kind of half a step ahead, and we're always, catching up with it and solving it that way. So, and not just fraud, there were other reasons for not wanting to solve the problem that way. So with Fixius, again, there is no central data store. So Fixius doesn't have any value of data because it doesn't store any information. It is important that when information is exchanged between two endpoints, that it is recorded, that there is a record that exchange has happened and that both parties agree to that data. And that is where air smart contracts come into play. This is where the warranties and liabilities can be evoked. And so I think it's an important part of the Fixius technology, if you will. But again, I think, looking at what we might call connective tissue, I think is another way of saying from end users, I do not want to have to sign up to join, to support all of these multiple things so that I can make electronic payments or receive them from all of my trading partners. Let me choose the technology or provider that I want to and have that work with everyone else. And I think that's the ultimate, goal, if you will, of what Notch is trying to do with Fixius as a utility.
Yeah, and I think listening to you, George, and we've had the opportunity to chat about this on other occasions, I really think that something like Fixius may go a long way to help to create interoperability among existing and planned payment rails. I mean, to your point, you're not moving money. That's not the purpose of this, but it's helping to create the data and the trust that I think is necessary in order for payments to sort of transverse from, a variety of different, payment solutions. And let me ask you kind of a tactical question there too. Is most of this going to be sort of business related activities? Kind of thinking about some of the use cases, is this mostly going to be B2B, or do you see some consumer use cases emerging as well?
Yeah, I think that the current focus of Fixius, and as I mentioned, I go back to that collaboration with the industry, has been focused on business payments. Now, business payments can be pretty broad, right? Businesses do disbursements. Businesses are paying, corporate to corporate or traditional B2B payments. And then I think, Sarah, a certain area that we've all been focused on, which I think Fixius can address today, and we'll continue to look at in the future, is connecting small businesses. Right. So when we think about how does information exchange occur today and where is it effective? It's really effective when you have, a little bit higher than a medium-sized business all the way up to a large corporate. They have figured this thing out, right? They know how to exchange data with one another. They are getting plenty of help from networks and solution providers and financial institutions to help them connect. But where the gap has typically been is in small business, right? That is a long tail in which it's been very difficult to connect with those small businesses. And thereby, I think that's where we see a lot of the opportunity to eliminate some of the check writing we still have today in the United States is really around that connectivity with small business. Fixius is not a product that a small business would buy. They would not even be aware, to be honest, of the platform. But the features or functionality, they can be provided by their service providers who are connected to the platform. That is where they'll see a unique ability or a new ability to make their information known in a way that they feel secure about doing that, and then also to obtain information so that they can make electronic payments more often than what they're doing today.
You know, one of the things I think is certainly interesting, you know, as we're talking about the exchange of data here, and it really is important to kind of bring forth the standardization part of this all, right? Because, you know, as you put forward at the beginning here, George, you know, there certainly is a lot of bilateral agreements that are currently in place. And, you know, business A understands how to communicate with business B here, but that is kind of a one-to-one relationship there. And they kind of almost have their own language in which it is that they speak here. And in the example that we're talking about here, when it really comes to Fixius, if we're kind of saying, well, if we all want to be able to at any point in time be able to connect to each other, we need to know how to speak to each other. So standardization really becomes a critical component of all of that. But as I understand, though, that Fixius has an exchange service APIs. And so perhaps maybe we could kind of talk a little bit more about that as it relates to how those help with standardization.
Yeah, Ryan, I think you touched on two points which are interesting. Standardization, and then you talked about rapid innovation earlier in our conversation. So when we think about the exchange of data between businesses, and primarily, let's talk about financial institutions. Financial institutions have really led the way over the last several years in working with their clients to have a better experience to how they are transferring information related to payment instructions or related to remittance information or banking information, and what they have chosen to do that with, and the rest of the actual world has done this as well, is leveraging APIs. And so APIs are not new. Banks have used them for many, many decades to help their back office systems talk to one another, right? We always talk about legacy and this and that, but APIs are a way to easily connect these systems so that they can communicate to one another. They use that same technology to say, well, let's use that to communicate with the systems at our corporates. And so now you get innovation there where corporates and how they interact with the bank are changed dramatically. Right, we move from windows in which I need to remember to connect up to the bank and maybe log into the portal and upload information so that my payments get made. I move away from that to an always on, always listening. The bank is getting my data as I'm inputting it and a much better experience. So that is all great. The problem that we learned, and this was, again, with financial institutions who acknowledged this as well, is that these corporates, they have other needs. One, they have needs to bank at more than one bank, right? Many corporates would say, I have two or three financial institution relationships for various needs, you know, whether it be risk or from an audit perspective or business, whatever that need. But I do need to have relationships with multiple banks. And quite frankly, I think businesses would say it would also, I would like it to be easier to move from one bank to the other. You know, you could argue if that's a good thing or a bad thing, depending on what your role is, but certainly something we've heard. So when we think about the use of APIs, without standardization, it is very difficult for me to manage this technology with multiple financial institutions. And then let's span beyond financial institutions into other service providers where I'm either exposing my data because I need to, or I'm consuming data of some sort, maybe in order to make a payment, maybe in order to verify information that I've gotten from one of my businesses, whatever the case may be. Without standardization, it's very difficult. APIs sound good on the surface, but kind of difficult to manage. So with Fixius, when we talked about standardization, it is really through those APIs. So when Fixius develops the support for a new API, and we've done, I think at this point, five APIs are available for use by Fixius participants, and we'll continue to see that grow, it is standardized. And what I mean by that is every participant who exchanges information with another participant, they do that through a Fixius API. Now, Nacha is not, you know, wanting to develop these APIs, what you might call in a vacuum, or we're doing that on our own. We do that in collaboration with the industry. One of the ways we do that is with an organization called Affinis. Affinis is a separate membership organization. It is under, if you will, the Nacha umbrella, right, within the Nacha organization. But those members are charged with developing API standards for the financial industry. So we look to that organization to help create the standard, or actually create the standard and then have it so that we can adopt it. Now, we're not tied so much that every API has to be one that's been developed by Affinis. If there are other APIs, either globally or in the US, that have gained market adoption and would be considered a standard, we would look at those as well and certainly consider adoption of those for the Fixius network. I think the one thing, though, that we see as a current, if you will, through the development of these APIs is the use of or leveraging ISO 20022. So I know Affinis is really, their core is based on that. And I think for Fixius, it makes sense for us as well, as a lot of financial institutions and payment providers and solution providers have already moved to, or at least have a pathway to, leveraging ISO 20022 when that is available. And the reason they're doing that is the whole reason we go back to this comment, Ryan, is about standardization. If we're going to standardize, how do we do it? I think, you know, ISO is a good place to start.
Yeah, I certainly have to agree with you on that ISO part there when it comes to standardization. But now I'm curious because, you know, we certainly talk about innovation and that it really kind of keeps evolving here. So I'm curious from the exchange service side of things, what can you speak to or you know, kind of unpack for our audience of what the roadmap really looks like in terms of innovation on that exchange service?
Yeah, I think... you know, Ryan, to this question and to Sarah's comment about, you know, where do we kind of go from here? I think what makes me most excited about the progress we've made so far with the Fixius platform, right? Knowing that it's about technology, it's about rules and governance from an organization like Nacha, it's about creating a network of participants. Now that that work is done, right? We've had our launch this year. We have a few APIs that are being leveraged in kind of early adopter projects, which are exciting as well. But the platform has been developed in a way, purposely, in that it can support the exchange of various types of data. It doesn't have to be specifically to onboard a supplier. It could be validation of information. We're looking at continuing to support businesses and their various needs for data services. So I think for one, the roadmap looks like it will continue to focus on the needs of businesses. I think it will continue to focus on either exposing or consuming information to benefit both receivers and senders of payments. It will continue to be payment agnostic, supporting information exchange for all types of payments, whether that be ACH or wire or card or any of the new emerging payment methods as well. So I think that will continue. And then I think the idea of validation of information as well is one that we hear a lot in the industry. We are looking to help with that validation to continue to offer ways to combat fraud, such as business email compromise for businesses. And I think, you know, the future looks pretty direct for me and where we're headed. I couldn't list off, you know, five new APIs that are in the pipeline that we're currently coding. I don't think we're that far yet. But as I mentioned, we have developed five APIs so far. A couple of those are verification. One of those is what we talked about in a true B2B environment where I am able to consume data so I can onboard a new supplier. We are looking at helping businesses deliver information instructions for execution of a payment. So including the authorization to remove funds from the account and for what amount and the invoice and all of that data that needs to be secure. And then we're looking at actually some other opportunities for financial institutions, not only so they can provide services to their clients, but things that they can do as well operationally. Where Fixius, again, once the platform is established, which it is, it now really enables easy exchange of information. And again, through the technology we have, provides the tracking and the recording of those data exchanges that are needed for compliance and regulation and those types of things.
I have another quick sort of tactical question for you. You know, So Fixius launched this year, and we're starting to read about organizations that are joining. Can you give us sort of a flavor for, you know, who is looking at and joining and utilizing Fixius today? Is it networks? Is it large financial institutions, medium financial institutions? Can you give us kind of a flavor for that?
Yeah, Sarah, and it's really part of the story that we talked about today. So as I mentioned in the opening remarks about the history and the years ago, and even as early as a year and a half ago, we had developed a proof of concept at NACHA, and it issued, released that into the market. And the purpose of the proof of concept was to not only get feedback from the industry, but also to establish a level of engagement. So we have had organizations who have participated in an early adopter program with NACHA. So it's not only their interest to be the first to implement a solution using Fixius, but it was also a desire to have transparency and input into that development, process. And so we were very fortunate to have a diverse group of organizations, including, as you said, large financial institutions, all the way down to credit unions and those representing community banks. We had a number of solution providers or service providers who are out there offering these types of services to businesses. The B2B networks were also a part of this group and continue to be. Card networks or payment networks have been a part of this as well. So we've done a few announcements, new press releases. We had a Visa press release. We had a company called Novello, which I think is interesting from a diversity standpoint, because here's a company, Novello, who has a very unique thing that it provides businesses, and that is services to help them do payroll, right? A very important aspect for a company to be able to do payroll efficiently, to be able to pay their employees, safely, on time, and all the things they need to do, and also, to have a guard against any kind of fraud that might be occurring. And so, I thought the Novello announcement was interesting to show that diversity. But we have a number of these organizations that continue to be part of our early adopter group. Early adoption is still open. Any of those listening to this message today, they can contact NACHA, and we can certainly get them engaged in the early adoption and looking at an implementation project. But we do have a number that are very active with NACHA and excited for 2021 into where we, we'll be announcing some of these projects going live, and we'll be able to show some of the results of these implementations.
Excellent. Yeah. And we'll be sure to leave a link for how people can learn more about Fixius down in the Payments Journal article below for those of you who are following along on paymentsjournal.com. So George and Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time today for speaking to me about Fixius and the future roadmap for Fixius as well. And I hope to have both of you back on the podcast real soon.
Thank you, Ryan. My pleasure.